Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more. Good morning. You're listening to In the Drink on heritageradionetwork.org. I'm your host, Joe Campanelli, and today we have Shelley Lindgren on the show in an industry just chock full of amazing, wonderful, hospitable, nice, passionate people. Shelley Lindgren is one of the most in all of those categories. Shelley, welcome on the show.
Hi, Joey.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going great here in New York. How are you doing?
Good. I'm in Italy, where that's where we met that one time, and so it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, about ready to have, well, I've already had wine today because I'm in Italy, so.
that's the biggest difference about Italy and New York. If in New York or in the States in general, if you have wine at lunch, it's like, whoa, that person is really, you know, taking it easy. But in Italy, if you don't have wine at lunch, everyone's asking, are you okay? Are you pregnant? Are you sick? Like, why aren't you having wine at lunch?
Oh, absolutely. They understand hospitality here. I mean, it's just off the charts. And it's always so good because our focus in the restaurants in San Francisco of hospitality, but also the wine and the history. And so when I get over here, I'm just like, I get recharged. And I'm able to bring that back with me.
Yes,
I'm here with one of the great sparkling wines of the world, Bella Vista, and they also have Contadi Castaldi. So I've been drinking. That's what I've been drinking since I've been here.
So a couple days. You're up in Lombardia.
Not a bad life right now.
Not too bad at all. So I didn't mention it at the top, but Shelley is the wine director and owner of A16 and SPQR. It's actually two A16s now. And the author or co-author of A16 Food and Wine and SPQR Food and Wine. James Beard nominated for best wine service in the country 4 times and a recipient of Michelin stars for SPQR. Truly, I mean, someone's at the top of the industry. I'm so excited. And someone mm-hmm. I look at as a good friend as well.
Yeah. So, that's so nice to say, because I think this when I think of you and all that you've been doing in New York, and it's just like, it's inspiring, and it's great to be with people that, you know, are always helping to, inspire each other. And I look at you, and I'm like, yay, I get to talk with Joey. So thank you for having me on.
So, Shelley, what brings you to Italy right now? Is it to particularly to visit this Franciacorta region? And what's it like up there, by the way? I've been to Lombardia, but never to Franciacorta.
Well, I'm sort of making my journey. They have an estate in Maremma, and this is sort of an up-and-coming region in south of Tuscany, and just south of Bulgari. And so I flew into Rome, and I'm with some friends from the U.S. that are working with the wines. And I'm eventually, in a couple of days, making my way over to Verona for the biggest wine show of the year in Italy. And I don't come to it every year, like a lot of wine professionals in the Italian wine industry do in the U.S. It's hard to make the trip with everything, and I'm also a mother. So, but this year, every year I keep saying, I'm going next year, and so I'm here. I'm going to go.
Well, so tell us about Vin Italy. I've never been. I've always been a little intimidated by it.
Oh, I wish you were coming. So I have a strategy. It feels like it's like 9 football fields big. Almost every producer of Italy is there practically. Every region is represented because wine's made in every corner of Italy. And, you can only at your best put a small dent into it. This year I was hoping to focus on the south of Italy. So, I literally will beeline for small regions like Molise, Calabria, and then go to larger producer regions like Puglia and Sicily and then Campania, and just see what's happening, be in touch with a lot of the producers face-to-face, sit down with them, talk with them about their wines, and there's also, this is new to me, there's a lot of satellite tastings that are focusing on the way they farm. Mm-hmm. Alois Legater does Suma, which is a green tasting. They do, inside of Italy, there's Vivit, and it's all natural wines, and then there's Vini Veri, it's also natural wines. There's Villa Fiorita, it's outside the Vinitaly event, but there's just a lot of focus on certain philosophies of making wine that's kind of taking a wave of excitement in wine production. So there's just a lot of wine, and so I'll arrive. I'll be going with my friend Cinzia, who makes a prosecco called La Vigna di Alice. It's absolutely fantastic, and we're gonna drive over about 7:30 in the morning. And about 4:30, I'll wrap up, and then I'll go to an event almost every day, or meet up with somebody. So it's like morning, noon, and night tasting. So you're drinking all day, but you have to be professional about it. It took me years to learn how to sit. It really did, because I remember first going to tastings, and I couldn't taste hundreds and hundreds of wines without feeling like I got drunk, and you
have to really spit.
Once I learn how to spit correctly, then you can do it. So
you got to do it. I know at first as well, if the wine was really tasty, I'd spit out most of it. But you end up swallowing a little bit. Like, oh, this is pretty good.
No, not all of it.
but I'm sure that'll catch up to the big tasting like that. I'm really curious if you could report back for me personally on what's going on in Molise, because that is a region that I know almost nothing about. We get very, very few wines from Molise here in New York. I just assume being, kind of where it's located, some hills on the inside, the coastal vineyards, coming close up to Marche, it there's gotta be something interesting going on over there and Basilicata, maybe.
Exactly. There's tons. Yeah. There's a lot of Basilicata happening right now too. All these histories of generations of families in the wine business. Mm-hmm. But, really it's been since World War II that a lot of the quality has slowly been ramping up. And right now it's like a golden age for Italy because you can drink great wine all over Italy. And that, even like 20, 30 years ago, you couldn't say that. So we are really in a great position with Italian wines and drinking them because, I feel like they're better than they ever have been.
Now, I just got back from my first wine trip to Campania, which is the area that you are most familiar with, that you're really known for. How did you get so interested in Southern Italian wines and especially the wines of Campania?
So I started as a complete blank slate because I spent most of my career in French fine dining in San Francisco for about 14 years as a captain in restaurants, and that's where, when I was finishing college in San Francisco and working full time and getting my sommelier certificate. And then once I was studying for wine and I fell into Italy, I felt like there was just so much of it underrepresented because you hear about the really famous areas, beautiful wines of Piedmont, Tuscany, and the Veneto, but you never heard that much about the wines of Campania, but the wines were great. So it was actually going there and kind of researching pizza for in the process of wanting to open A16 and basically, it was like the wines that went with the food there. There was tons of options. So when I in the Bay Area, we couldn't really find that many. They're there, but mm-hmm. they just were sort of almost like hidden, or they weren't in current vintages in the inventory for the distributors. And I would call people that I would buy Italian wine from, but I knew that I'd be like, oh my gosh, now I know what this wine is. I never knew what Cale Romano was. I never knew what this Taurasi was or what Terra Brune was from Sardinia at the time. I just saw Terra Brune, and I went, I don't know what that is. And these are like, there's a lot of really important producers for me and, you know, for our list that really, you know, strike the heartstrings and give a lot of soul to the quality of wine that's being made. But I just sort of fell into it because we wanted to do a certain type of pizza in our restaurant. And so that's really what happened. I came home and I made some phone calls and I kept trying to research what was available. And right around that same time is when we were starting to get more and more wines, and some of the local importers started bringing in more wines like this. Like, I cold called our mutual friend Bruno 1 year after I've been in Italy, 9 years ago. And I was fascinated. There's a wine from Pestum, these, you know, huge Greek ruins. And this, the whole story was just so romantic and just the idea of wine being made there. And I guess, you know, I'm from Northern California, so I grew up in wine country not even knowing it was wine country because there was far fewer wineries than there are today. And, you know, I started working at restaurants at 17, and I remember the first vintage of Opus 1, and, I mean, of course, I knew Robert Mondavi, but, you know, it just seems like it just comes, everything's come really far so fast in California, and there's a lot of cool stuff happening. But Italy is just sort of this motherland of grapes and knowledge, and, you know, it's a lifestyle of drinking wine that is something that I can learn from and bring back to what we do at the restaurant.
Right, and Pestum has been around something like 2,200 years or 2,300 years, so I'm sure I can see how you put that puts things into perspective. And when I was at Bruno Di Concili's recently, I have to say he would not shut up about how much he loves you.
Oh, he's awesome.
He's very fun. He's like, oh, when Shelley was here, this, and when Shelley was here, that. He's a big fan of yours, as you are of his. Who are some of the other producers that will kind of always be on your list? I know you're a fan of so many different wines, but who are some of the like kind of core producers, and maybe you consider them friends, and why?
Mm-hmm. I have Pietro Cupa is Sabino Loffredo, and he is an excellent winemaker. Everything he makes is fantastic, but he's known for his whites, his Greco di Tufo and Fiano di Avellino, as well as Cale Romano, Fiano di Avellino. And from Campania, I would say there's really historic wineries like Casa d'Ambra and Mastro Bernardino that have been there for a long time. But right now, what's really exciting is finding the smaller wineries, like there's a new wines from right around Vesuvius, like Campi Filigree, that these really crisp, dry Falanghinas from La Sibilla. There's another new one that is just going to, they only send over like 8 cases. But if I was going to pick a couple producers, I would say Villadoro from the Crema Christi, which is a wine that used to be, you know, you drink it by the quantity and not the quality, and they've really focused on quality. There's wines like Vestini Capignano and outside of Caserta that are doing important grapes like Palagrello Bianco. I'm really into Cesenese right now. I'm going to Lazio, but Cesenese is sort of going with so many different types of food. It's really fun to recommend. And there's a gentleman named Damiano Cioli, and he's making a Cesenese, which is the grape of the red grape out from right outside of Rome. And it's just a fantastic grape.
Yeah, I'm convinced it's a matter of time before Lazio starts showing us some really, really great wines with consistency. They have the volcanic soils, hillside vineyards, long history of winemaking, somewhat sophisticated, potentially international wine drinking urban center. It seems like, come on, Lazio, it's your time.
I completely agree. And, you know, everything gets shadowed because Rome is right in the middle, and it's so massive and fantastic. And you go around this, like, hills from, you know, the north, like, all the way around, and there's some cool blends, and those are really fun wines to have with different types of food, too, that you wouldn't expect. It's really exciting.
Now, I remember the first time I went to A16 very well. I actually drank Pellegrino Bianco, which was a grape you mentioned earlier. And now people certainly know your restaurants as not only dining but also wine destinations. But when you first opened and you were excited about these wines that people really didn't know too much about and potentially even difficult to pronounce, like, what was the reception? Was that something that was challenging to sell to people, or are they very excited to find something new? Has it changed over the years?
So that's a good, I love that question. When we first opened, okay, first of all, the first list had Piedmont and Tuscany, but not just the idea of the list. Before we opened the doors, but as I kept gaining confidence that I could do a list that was focused on the south of Italy, I was concerned that people would think I was trying to be esoteric or pulling the wool over their eyes. So every night my goal was to talk to every table. And so I'm just going to touch the table and make sure that, you know, if they've ordered a wine, I'll check in. How are you enjoying it? You know, we have this wonderful team of front of the house service team, and everybody has to be really passionate about food and wine and service to all kind of gel and make it happen every night. Because, you know, restaurants are there. It takes a team to get everything to happen. But before everybody was really like where they are now with the wines, I was really concerned about the customer getting what they wanted with the wine. And so eventually, after we were open, finally people were like, I know how to talk wine to this table, Shelly. You don't have to, like, come into every table and chat with them. And so I was, you know, I was really happy to see that not only was it our staff that was getting into the wines, but our customers that were returning were saying, what Sangiovese are you pouring today? What Fiano? And I was always like startled, or I had to like step back and say, I just love that you just asked me this question. So we really have awesome customers that, you know, gain their trust in us and, you know, believe in what we're doing. And without that, it could have gone south, you know, because people could have been like, you know, if they didn't enjoy the wines, it wouldn't, you know, backfired a little bit. But the wines are really good, as you know. And so I think that as a sommelier, our job is to sort of weed through what you don't want to drink and find the real great gems and focus on those, so that when people know that, hey, you know, they might have a certain style they're looking for, but I wouldn't put something on a list that I wouldn't want to drink. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it might run the whole gamut of, you know, body weight, dryness, you know, minerality and whatnot. But there's, you know, everybody has their own personal taste in wine. So, you know, it's just been a lot of fun to keep building the list. And I mean, size wise, we max out at a certain number, but, you know, we pour over 40 wines by the glass and half bottle carafe. So it's always really, I think that's about half of our wine sales. We do half bottle and half by the glass. So you can have some fun, mix and match and pair. Start with a carafe of white, move into a red, or just get a bottle.
Yeah, Shelly, and I can say as a repeat customer myself that trust that you've earned with your customers is well earned. All right, we're going to take a quick, just a very, very quick break, and we will be back with more of Shelly Lindgren from A16 and SPQR in a bit. Will cease to exist. If I come into a party hidden raps like this, all you superficial rappers will cease to exist. If I come into a party hidden raps like this, all you superficial rappers will cease to exist.
Since 2001, Heritage Foods USA has sold pasture-raised, antibiotic-free heritage meats to restaurants and homes around the country. Our farmers raise their animals with care using traditional methods guaranteed to produce the very best-tasting meat. Our pork breeds include Berkshire, Red Wattle, Duroc, Gloucester Old Spot, Large Black, and Tamworth, and our beef comes from Piedmontese, Angus Akiyushi, Belgian Blue, Highland, Simmental, and Belted Galloway cattle. We also carry a rotation of 24 rare breeds of heritage chicken, seasonal specialties like lamb, goat, geese, and of course, heritage turkeys. Visit us online at www.heritagefoodsusa.com or give us a call at 718-389-0985 to place your order today.
And we're back with Shelley Lindgren of A16 and SPQR Restaurants in San Francisco and co-author of A16 Food and Wine, SPQR Food and Wine. I am a very big fan. If you guys have been listening so far, you probably can tell that by now. So I recently went to SPQR for the second time. Your wine list at A16 really focuses on the south of Italy and Campania specifically. But at SPQR, not only did we drink delicious Polari Faro from Sicily, but we also had some wines from the north. We had Scarpa Barbaresco and the Ziederich Vitovska. So, it was a good night of indigenous Italian wine drinking. What were you trying to do with the list at SPQR?
So, sort of like drawing our fictitious border at A16 because that's what goes with our food, and there's enough wine to really hone in and do some pairings at SPQR, which is quite, a lot smaller and a different style of cuisine. It's sort of modern Italian, I guess, but it's like Matthew, our chef, he has a lot of technical training with like the heart of Italian grandmother because he understands Italian food so well. Pairing wines for him is complete pleasure. It's all of Italy, and again, we have only so much space we could do, but it's a lot of small producers really, and it's sort of like you only have room to put a few wines on, but we definitely have some wines that have just become part of SPQR. Mm-hmm. They're like grapes like Pella Verga from Piedmont. That's just become something that we usually have one producer on. There's only, four or five producers that we can get, and it's like common word, and that's something that is really, really fun for us. And Vitovska, and so we have a little bit of representation from all of Italy. And how I designed that wine list was going through the Roman roads, which ended up being how we did the food and wine book as well, because we only had so much space to put the list. So my thought was, okay, it's Rome, and I love history of especially of Italy. And so I said, if you took a one road, you could cover three regions. So I wouldn't have to list 20 regions. Mm-hmm. I could just say this road goes through, Tuscany, Liguria, Piedmont or whatever it is, you know. And then you kind of find out the stories of the roads and why they're built, and the general of the Roman army was built, and just kind of a fun, cool story. So, but it really was how can I creatively include my focus on this list?
Yeah, and I studied in Florence, and our street, our school was actually on this road called Via Bolognese, which was one of these ancient Roman roads, which you probably know in your research. And I remember along the road, still today, there were distance markers that were built by the Romans, and I was always amazed as to how they could be so exact. And even the center of Florence, the ancient Roman center of Florence, was perfectly
so cool.
North, south, east, west oriented. It was only after that they messed that up.
And a lot of things that the Romans did, we still use today, mm-hmm. you know, and how, and, you know, the government systems they put up, or, you know, the roads, the water systems, all these things are just, it was pretty astounding. But, you know, yeah, there's a story like in Umbria, there's Via Flaminia, after General Flaminia. And they said that, you know, during, they apparently would only go to war and try to only go to war when it wasn't winter. Or so to keep up their strength, they would build these kind of huge boulders. The army would build these roads, and then the general would have to get on his horse and try to gallop down this road, and if he couldn't, then they had to, like, build it again, take it apart, build it again.
Whoa.
Like, what?
That is absolutely nutso. That's crazy. So
that's why we get to geek out on that kind of stuff, so it's really fun.
So you recently opened a new branch of A16 a little bit further north, focusing a little bit more on the food of Puglia, from what I understand. I haven't been to the new one, but Puglia is where my family in Italy is from. This is kind of a fish-centric, lots of chilies and flavors and olive oils and beans. Is that correct?
That's right. So the A16 goes, it's the autostrada that goes from Naples to Canosa, which is right by Bari, the capital of Puglia. And just like you're from Puglia, and actually Matthew Accarino, his family's from Puglia, and our other chef, and then Rocky Maselli is a chef in Rockridge. And it's this Italian trivia, but like his family was from Bari and in Puglia, and one of his paternal grandfathers was the mayor of Bari because he was the tallest man in town, so they're like, you're the mayor. And that was just, you know, stories like that happened. But with his love of Southern Italy, and we do have Neapolitan pizza, but it's definitely in A16 San Francisco, we make our own salumi. And in Rockridge, it's a lot more focused. We took that section is mostly crudo, and so we get some wonderful locally sourced seafood, and that's one of the highlights of the menu for sure. And there we have a full bar, which we don't have in the in San Francisco. So we have a lot of Italian inspired cocktails, and the wine list is very similar in setup. With, you know, just its own unique variations. But, I mean, they could have been called different restaurants because they are quite different. But the Southern Italian swath is so big that we wanted to stay with our philosophy of Southern Italy and just keep exploring it. And there's shapes of pizzas we don't do in San Francisco, that there's pastas that, you know, Rocky makes a house-made orecchiette, and it's very similar to something that you would find in Puglia with the rapini and chilies. We use a lot of chilies. We use those basilicata dried peppers that they sort of put on the side of your plate and you just snack on them while you have your meal. We use those a lot. If you take those and you get them in like any delicatessen and you crumble them up and you fry them in a pan, they turn bright red again, and then you can add them as a garnish to your pasta like you do with breadcrumbs or, you know, whatever. And just little things like that that are just add a different twist to Rockridge.
How do you like to approach pairing wine with chilies? I find that's even can be more challenging for me than even something like asparagus, which is, you know, traditionally considered a hard pairing. But for me, chilies can be challenging.
Well, you know what's interesting is a lot of chilies come from southern Italy, mm-hmm. or they are grown in southern Italy, and so a lot of the wines just go with it. And you know, if you take certain reds that are lower in tannin and they have that, you know, really wonderful climate for growing grapes to get them naturally ripe, things like Negro Amaro from Puglia, so perfect. Not some of the, you can find some Negro Amaros that are a little bit more extracted and bigger. I would stay away from those and go with the more maritime, like black olive, stewed fruit, and just like, you could have, these are the kinds of reds that you can have with seafood. Just like a lot of the Sicilian reds, Carpato would be great, Gallioppo from Calabria, where you have tons of chilies and pretty spicy food, like, you know, just their sausages, if you try those, like the Anjua, and I use really spicy cuisine. They're drinking red wine with them, so...
Just nothing too tannic, right? Nothing too oaky or tannic.
Yeah, because the tannins, they make it spicier. I mean, the tannins increase the spicy character, so you will definitely be on fire, blowing fire.
Some people might like that. That might be... well, Shelley, it has been such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. It's so great talking with you. Thank you for having me on.
I especially honored. Appreciate you taking a half hour out of your time in Italy, of all places.
Oh my gosh.
Go drink some wine.
Okay, yeah, it's going to be 5 o'clock here pretty soon. Well, I mean, I had wine for lunch already today, so, yeah. Well,
you've got to get your aperitivo on. You've got
to
get your aperitivo going, and then get some wine going. And report back to us, please, about Molise and what is going on with...
I will. I'm excited. That's where my in-laws' relatives are from. And so... So I've been, it needs some representation.
Yes.
So, all right. Okay.
And thanks all of you for listening. This has been In the Drink on heritageradionetwork.org. Thanks, Shelley.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.